Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor Show, where we talk about health tips and strategies to help you be smart, sexy, and strong. On today's show, we have as my guest, Dr. Shalina Lauji. She's also known as Dr. Shell. Dr. Shell is a board-certified obstetrician and gynecologist and an honor graduate of Emory University School of Medicine. She's founder and medical director of the Dr. Shell Wellness and Medical Spa in Sugarland, Texas. She has been inspiring and educating women on how to live their best and healthiest lives for nearly 20 years. After practicing traditional women's healthcare for over 10 years, she felt she needed to focus on a more comprehensive approach to women's health to uncover the root cause of her patients' symptoms rather than simply treat the symptoms alone. Her daily mission is to empower women to look and feel their best by cherishing and honoring themselves first and foremost. She also provides treatments and protocols to address the patient's individual needs to restore inner wellness. She assists her patients in this process with natural bioidentical hormones, nutrition, healthy living, aesthetic procedures, and stress management strategies. Dr. Shell is author of I Am Woman, Our Journeys to Health, Happiness, and Harmony. She is a sought-after speaker and trainer and has appeared on many local and national TV shows. She believes in a strong balance in life while enjoying embracing her many roles as physician, a woman's health advocate, an educator, an entrepreneur, a wife, and a mother of two children. On today's show, Dr. Shell shares secrets for fuller, healthier hair and radiant skin. We discuss the causes of hair loss, how to determine if the amount of hair you're losing is normal, and how to find out why you're losing hair, what role hormones play, including thyroid, what tests to ask your healthcare provider to order, and essential nutrients. Dr. Shell also shares some secrets on how to have vibrant, radiant skin. So enjoy the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Shell.
Thank you. It's great being here, Dr. Cates.
Yeah, it's great to have you on. So I want to start off with your background. Tell us about how you got into doing what you do. I think you have a really interesting story to share with us. So let's start with that.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I'm a board-certified OBGYN. So I practiced traditional medicine for over 10 years and just realized that in traditional medicine, we were really not treating the full person. And, you know, I was at a point where I was seeing about 30 to 40 patients a day, doing deliveries, surgeries, and really seeing a lot of patients in the office, but did not feel like I was getting to the core issues as well as really the reasons why people don't feel well and get diseases. I felt that all of us in traditional medicine were just, you know, not taking the time. We were putting Band-Aids on different issues that was going on. So I felt that I really needed to make a change because I had to be true to my own passions and the reason why I went into medicine to begin with. So I decided to make a complete switch and I left traditional medicine. And this was back in 2005, delivered my last baby, did my last hysterectomy, and decided I was going to really start practicing medicine the way that I feel it should be done. So I went into integrative medicine and started doing a lot of functional medical treatments and really had to go back to school, if you will, because they don't teach us this in medical school. So I went back to conferences, reading, really doing a lot of research and really dug deep into why I went into medicine to begin with. And really that was where the journey started for my integrative medicine practice. And it has been an amazing journey, Dr. Cates, as you can imagine. It is just such a great way to practice medicine now.
Oh, so. Yeah, that's great. And I'm so glad that you were able to discover that. And where did you do your functional medicine training? Like, where did you go back to school to do that?
Well, I went back to school really going to a ton of conferences and doing a lot of research on my own. So, you know, a lot of American Academy of Anti-Aging Medicine conferences, a lot of bioidentical hormone conferences, nutrition conferences. And it's been great because the same conferences that I learned from are the conferences where I teach now. So it's just been a great journey because the last 10 years has just made this amazing shift in the way that I think, in the way that I approach people. Now I teach and I actually, you know, really take care of people persons, not charts, not labs, not, you know, symptoms. I really take care of what's going on deep within and listen to them and really hear what they're going through and what their issues are. And that could be social issues, medical issues, emotional issues, psychiatric issues or psychological issues, spiritual issues, just so many things that make up who we are. And I feel that in traditional medicine, we don't really have the time. We might want to look at all of those things, but we don't have the time to or the knowledge of how to do so. So I really started incorporating bioidentical hormone replacement. I incorporated nutrition. I do healthy lifestyles, healthy eating, exercise, movement, meditation, spirituality, yoga, just a lot of things that come into and make us who we are on a daily basis. And so that's how my practice started in integrative medicine, and it's just been amazing. And then what I started doing, Dr. Cates, which you'll find interesting because you do so much spa stuff and you're so awesome at it, is aesthetics. So I feel, and this was something that I just fell into, this wasn't part of the initial plan, but when I started taking care of men and women on the inside and they felt incredible on the inside, they then wanted to look great on the outside. So they wanted their outside to match their inside. So now my main mission is inner vitality and outer rejuvenation. And that's what I try to focus all my educational materials on. And just like we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk more about the outer rejuvenation part with our hair and our skin and, you know, things that are really important and do make up your total health. So that's important to me because I've been through it myself.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's great. And there's so much of a connection between our inner health and our outer health. And
absolutely.
So, and I, you know, I talk about how the skin is so, you know, people think of it as a vanity issue, but it's really so much more than that. I mean, it's,
oh,
you know,
my
we want to look good. And,
yes.
you know, you look great. You got great skin and you have
Thank
great
you.
Hair.
So do you.
You look great. But it starts on the inside. If we have bad skin and our hair is falling out, there's something going on inside that
isn't
right. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about hair loss, because I know that it is a concern that a lot of people have. They tend, especially as we get older, people start to lose their hair. So why does that happen for people?
So there are so many different reasons that, you know, hair loss can actually occur. I'll share with you why I'm so passionate about it. 11 years ago, I had my little baby boy who just turned 11. And, you know, when I had my first child and she's about 14, now I lost a little bit of hair after the delivery and it all came back and everything was good. But after I had my son, Zaid, it just started coming out in clumps. I'm talking the sink was full, the showers were full, the drains were full. And I'm thinking, okay, any day now, this is going to stop. This is going to stop. This has to stop. And it didn't stop. And, you know, it got to the point where at about month two postpartum, two of my areas right here, the hair was completely gone. I mean, I had literally almost bald spots there, and I was just frantic. I was panicking, as I can understand others do as well, when they have this immense hair loss. And I went to my OB-GYN, of course, and really tried to talk about this, like, you know, okay, something's going on. Obviously, I'm an OB-GYN. I know there are hormonal fluctuations and things of that nature, but it came back last time, so what's going on this time? So, of course, we did some very cursory basic testing that, you know, we're all used to getting done with traditional medicine. And, of course, everything was within normal limits and the hair was still not coming back. So that's when I realized that if I'm a physician and I know that there could be these changes and I am still having such a psychological, deep psychological impact from all this hair loss, what could be happening to millions of people out there that are going through this? And that's when I decided I was going to make this one of my areas where I really do a ton of research, because there really wasn't much out there. There was nothing that was promising. There were no protocols. There were no supplements that I knew I should be taking. There were no testing I knew I should be doing, because it was just not talked about very much. And I wondered, why do people not talk about it? Well, number one, it's a little embarrassing. You know, when you're not, when you don't have the hair that you want and you look in the mirror and it just doesn't look right, you just feel a little embarrassed. And number two, you don't know where to turn. So that's when I started to do a lot of research. And, you know, based on the research, I've created these protocols that we'll talk about a little bit today. But it's startling to know that 35 million people go through hair loss in this country. And it's not something that is, you know, so minor. It is really, really major. So 35 million men and 21 million women will experience some hair loss by the age of 35 decades. That's young. And then 60, by the age of 35, that many million. So we're talking about 56 million people, men and women combined, will experience some hair loss by the age of 35. And that's not just a little hair falling out. Hair loss that they are actually concerned about. And then if you look at by the age of 60, this is what's startling, 65% of men, but 80% of women will have noticeable hair loss by the age of 60. That's huge. And this is something that we just don't know where to go with. So it's really such a huge problem. And there are so many things that can lead to this problem, which is why I think it's really, really important to talk about it.
Right. And hair loss is one of those things that people usually know if they have it. What's normal hair loss? I mean, we lose some hair, but what is something that people should pay attention to?
So, you know, normal hair loss is okay. You're in the shower and a couple of strands fall out. You're brushing your hair. Okay, a few strands fall out. That's all normal. But when you feel like the hair is actually thinning, so it's no longer as healthy as it needs to be, when you feel like there are patches that you just feel like, okay, you can see some scalp where you weren't able to see some scalp before, or when you see clumps actually coming out, that's when you really start need to taking notice and being concerned. And really what I tell my patients is looking at the stats, being that the stats are so startling, the statistics give you that number, you know, you need to know that it's quite likely that you might go through this at some point in your life. So start taking preventive measures and really looking at the causes that are causing the hair loss. Because as you know, there are three different phases for hair loss, or for hair growth, I should say. So there's the anagen phase, which is the growth phase. And in this growth phase, 80 to 90% of our hair is in this phase at any given time. And in that phase, hair is actively growing and it's doing what it's supposed to do. Then you have the catagen phase, which is the transition phase. And only 2 to 3% of hair is in this phase at any time. And this is when the hair is preparing to rest and it's detaching from the blood supply. Then, of course, you have the telogen phase, and that's the rest phase. And in that resting phase, you've got 10 to 15% of your hair in this phase, and the hair is actually preparing to fall out and grow a new follicle. So we have the hair that is supposed to be in that phase, which gives us a healthy head of hair. But if those phases actually change, then, of course, a lot more hair can go into the telogen or the catagen phase instead of the anagen phase. And that's impacted by things like our thyroid, our other sex hormones, by stress, by autoimmune issues. It's affected by, you know, malnutrition, other toxicities. So those are things that can really affect what phase our hair is in. And that directly impacts what happens to our hair and how much hair loss we have.
Okay, great. So then how do people determine, those are a lot of different causes. So how right. do people determine which is the cause that's the problem for them?
Very good question, Dr. Cates. So what we need to do is, number one, one of the biggest causes for hair loss, as you already know, but a lot of listeners may not, is low or suboptimal thyroid. So the first thing I would do is I would get a thyroid test done. Now, a lot of people, and I'm sure just about everybody who goes to a physician once a year, at least for an annual, they might have a thyroid test done. The problem is they may only have, and they most likely will only have, just a very basic thyroid analysis. And that's what you and I call the TSH, or thyroid stimulating hormone. Now, that hormone is very important indeed, but what is really important is to do a full thyroid panel. And so what I would suggest to the listeners is have your physician or practitioner order a TSH, at least a free T3, a free T4, two types of thyroid antibodies, as well as a reverse T3. That would be a good basic panel that you need to look at. Why would you ask, do we need to look at that? It's because we really need to look at the whole picture to see what's going on with our thyroid. So your TSH may be in what a lot of traditional doctors may call within normal limits or within the normal range. The problem is the normal range is so incredibly wide. So as an example, most labs will have that range be in 0.4 to 4.5 range. That is a very wide range. I try to keep my patients at a TSH of less than 2.0 or ideally less than 1.5 because they feel great there. They're feeling great. Their metabolism is great. They're sleeping great. They're not getting GI issues. They're not getting tired and they're not losing hair. So when you maintain it there and you maintain your free T3 and free T4 in the higher optimal level and make sure that you're not converting your T4 to the reverse T3, and I'm giving a lot of medical jargon here, but it's the point that I'm making is make sure that you get your thyroid looked at completely before you say, oh, my thyroid's okay because my doctor did a TSH. Not enough. So we need to look at that, number one. Number two, the other thing that I really suggest to my patients is look at your nutritional deficiencies. Let's look and see what we're really deficient in. So we can all say, oh gosh, well, I take a multivitamin or I take this or I take that. But do we know what our white blood cells and our cellular level, what we need and what we're deficient in? The nice thing is there's actually a test that looks at this, and I recommend this to my patients as well, where we look at 33 different vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants inside your cells to see what your intracellular deficiency is. Now, this may seem like, oh my God, this must be such an expensive test. It's not. It's really quite reasonable, but it gives you some very valuable information to make sure that you're not imbalanced nutritionally, because our cells, down to our hair follicles, need those nutrients to be able to grow. So for hair loss, it's very, very important. And later on, we can discuss which supplements I feel are very important. Number three, what we need to do is make sure people are looking at their stress level. Huge, huge contributor to hair loss. And as you know, Dr. Cates, we in this country, in the world right now, if we were to ask an average person, is your stress higher than a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10? Almost everyone's going to say yes. Now, that stress affects your cortisol levels. And when your cortisol levels are imbalanced, you can tend to lose a lot of hair because that also affects your thyroid levels as well as everything else that goes on in our bodies. So stress is a huge contributor to hair loss and something else that we need to look at. And then finally, of course, your sex hormones. So as we know, men and women both go through different phases of our lives with different hormonal imbalances. So for women, we go through a very big change around our reproductive years, especially after we have children. So that's a big change that happens with our sex hormone balancing. Then we go through this perimenopausal time, then menopausal time. So there's many different things that can happen during our life. And for women, some women, of course, also have issues that we call PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, where there's an imbalance with the testosterone and DHEA level. Similarly with men, men go through andropause, where their testosterone and estrogen balance is really off as well. And some of that can also lead to hair loss. So lots of things that, you know, people need to look at, but start somewhere. Start really evaluating what could be going on with you and with your hair loss.
So it sounds like the first thing people can do is talk to their current primary care doctor provider about running some basic tests, like, well, not basic, right, but basic blood work that correct includes a very thorough thyroid panel. And they need, you know, correct, it's important for them to share with them specifically what they want. And, you know, if you have, I think if people have a doctor that says, no, you have to order what I say you order, you need to find a new doctor.
Find a new doctor, exactly.
Because
agree with you more.
Today's yes medicine, you know, today's healthcare is about partnerships. We need to find absolutely people that are part of our team that can help yes support us and help yes us find answers together. It's not right like it used to be where your doctor would tell you something and you just do it. You don't.
Oh, yes, absolutely. I totally agree. Yeah. And I tell my patients all the time, we are a team. We are co-pilots in this. You know, I'm not going to be the only pilot. You have to be part of this team, because if you're not, there's not much that I will be able to do unless you're on board and you want the same results. So let's talk about what your goals are. And we have to ask the patients what their goals are. And then only that way we'll know what their priorities are and what they want to focus on. So it's very important for your doctor to really have this conversation with you. And like Dr. Cates, you know, like you were saying, if they're not, you need to find someone who is a patient advocate, because that is our job as physicians. We need to be patient advocates. So yeah, absolutely right. And, you know, I do want to mention with stress, like I touched upon it a little bit, but stress is so huge, as we all know, that actually there are three different types of hair loss that can occur with stress. And that's important for people to know. First of all, ask yourself the question, where am I on my stress scale? And if you think on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 1 or 2, hey, more power to you. But I hardly meet people like that these days. So with stress, there are so many different things that can happen to your body, but there are three main hair loss types that occur with stress. Number one is telogen effluvium. Now, what happens with telogen effluvium is significant stress pushes large number of our hair follicles into the resting phase, like we talked about. And within a few months, all these affected hairs might fall out suddenly when simply combing or washing your hair. And you might notice that if you're losing hair, think back about 2 or 3 months ago, did you go through a significant stressful period? And if you did, and a lot of your hair is falling out now, you might be going through telogen effluvium. So that's an important one.
So that's, number two, you said how long, 3 to 4 months?
It could take up to 3 months. So what I notice in my patients is they might have gone through a very stressful divorce or a stressful job situation or something about 2 to 3 months before all this hair is falling out. And if that's the case, it may be their cortisol, it may be their stress. So that's something important for them to really think about. Of course, that's not to say don't look at your thyroid, but that is something that, you know, gives you a clue what kind of hair loss you might be having. The other one is called trichotillomania, and that is an irresistible urge to pull your own hair out from your scalp, from your eyebrows, and other areas of the body. Now, this is a little less common, of course, but hair pulling can be a way that some people use to deal with negative emotions or uncomfortable feelings, such as tension, stress, loneliness, boredom, or frustration. So that is another one that, you know, is important to know about. And the third one is called alopecia areata. Now, that is more that a variety of factors are thought to cause alopecia, but stress is definitely one of the things that could trigger alopecia areata, where the body's immune system can attack the hair follicles, and this can cause hair loss.
So, and that is more like more hair loss. You're where you're losing your eyelashes, your eyebrows, your hair.
Yes.
Your hair. That can be pretty significant.
It can be pretty significant, and what you'll often see is, you know, actual patches, bald patches in your hair. So if that's what's happening, then you need to be thinking, okay, perhaps an autoimmune reaction that's going on, and really try to get focused on that pretty quickly. So,
and how would they know if it's more of an autoimmune condition? What would be some indicators that that's actually what's going on?
So you want to, I mean, that's something that, you know, you really, a lot of times it's symptom-based. So when you look at your type of hair loss, and then of course you can do some testing for autoimmune factors and things of that nature. A rheumatologist could help you in that situation, or a dermatologist could help you. But I would caution people to, you know, start getting steroid injections as the first line of defense with alopecia areata. You need to, again, let's not put a Band-Aid on it. Let's look at what caused the alopecia areata, what actually went into this. Interestingly enough, I had a patient, a young, very amazing young lady who actually has a component of alopecia areata. And before she ended up in my office, been to 5 different facilities, traveled out of state to find doctors who specialize in it, has gotten the steroid injections, has tried anything and everything in the book. And miraculously enough, within 2 to 3 months of us working together, you know, changing her diet, looking at food sensitivities, getting rid of inflammation, looking at the right nutritional deficiencies that she has and supplementing those, balancing her thyroid, it's back. We did not need to do any steroid injections. We did not need to do anything but really focus on within and what's really imbalanced in her body that triggered this response that her body was doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
there's
really great.
So many different factors that, you know, that can play a role in hair loss. And a lot of times I'll run into somebody at the grocery store and they'll say, "Hey, Dr. Case, I've been losing hair. What do you think it is?"
Right.
Well, hold on. There are a lot of different possibilities.
Don't this podcast, okay?
Right. Yes. So there is a lot, obviously, to talk about. So one of the things I want to ask you about is where the hair is being lost. Like, some people will lose it here. And then you talked about some people will get splotches of hair loss. Some people might lose it in the back. What are there certain, you know, patterns of where the hair loss occurs that give us an indication of what might be the underlying cause?
That's a really good question. And, you know, to be honest, we don't have a very tested and tried sort of, you know, definitive, if you will, correlation. However, what I could tell you is... A lot of men, as you know, when they go through male pattern baldness, they'll start with this area here, and then it goes further back. So there might be some hormonal component with that. When you look at the, you know, patients with other things like alopecia, that could happen here, or that could happen around the scalp. So that's very usually with thyroid, nutritional deficiencies, and things of that nature, you'll kind of see more of a diffuse hair loss, where you'll kind of just see hair falling out in general from different places. So that's the most commonly seen one, is where you're just going to have, whether it's men or women, coming in and saying, you know, I feel like my hair is really thinning. The interesting thing is, a lot of times, and this is great, a lot of times thyroid deficiencies are actually detected by the hairstylist. And when I say that, it's not that they're doing the test, but they're actually looking at your hair month after month. If you're going to them every month, and, you know, they know you very well, and they're shampooing or looking, you know, feeling your hair and saying, "Hey, Susie, you're really losing a lot of hair. What's going on? Your hair is thinning." And that should be like a little trigger. Oh my gosh, you know, if she's noticing it, because sometimes we look at ourselves every day, tons of times a day, and so we don't notice it. But if somebody's seeing you once a month or once every other month, they notice. And I think pay attention to that and make sure that if that is happening, go to your practitioner, get these tests done, look at your nutrition, look at how you're eating too. That's very big too. Make sure that you're really trying to focus on how you're eating. So if you, a little clue would be, you know, think about whether you have GI inflammation. And how do you tell if you have that? Well, do you have gassiness, bloating, GI issues, reflux, cramping? You know, do you feel just uncomfortable? And if you do, your gut is not doing what it's supposed to do. If you're not regular, if you're constipated, your gut is inflamed. Now, if your gut is inflamed, many things could be causing it. But the first thing you might want to look at is, what foods are you eating? Are you eating clean, organic? Are you drinking enough water? Or are you eating things that are really causing this inflammation in your gut, which then is inflaming other parts of your body, including your scalp? And that could lead to hair loss as well.
Yeah. So one of the things that you mentioned was nutritional testing. So that is something that generally you can't get in a conventional medical doctor's office. So when you order the thyroid panel, it's not something that you can make a special request for, because they're not going to be able to add that on, because you're talking about a specialty lab. And what they can do, though, is in a basic lab with their primary care doctor, they might be able to order ferritin, which is iron stores, and do CBC, and a complete blood count, and blood cells can give us some information. But what you're talking about is above and beyond that. So I just want to make sure people don't go and talk to their doctor about adding on a nutritional panel, and then they get a big blank stare.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the tests that you mentioned are, you know, a really good place to start, because iron deficiency can absolutely also be one of the causes for hair loss. You can also ask for B12. If you don't have access, ask for B12. Ask for vitamin D testing. That's really important. So ask for the things that you can get in a traditional setting. And if you are able to get some specialty testing, then get a micronutrient intracellular assessment. That is so important. And just about every state that the listeners might be from, there are practitioners that can provide this. So if you want to take it to the next level, definitely get the nutritional deficiency testing done. And then, of course, we'll be going over what supplements are important anyway, so you can start replenishing those things in your body if you aren't able to be very customized.
Right. So let's go ahead and talk about those nutritional supplements and things that people want to be sure that they're getting.
Absolutely. So one of the first ones that I think are so important for hair loss is biotin, but enough biotin. I usually recommend anywhere from 6 to 8,000 of biotin. And, you know, a lot of people will come in and say, but I've been taking biotin. I take about a 500 or 1,000, you know, micrograms of biotin. What's really important is not only the actual supplement that we're talking about, but make sure it is the right kind. Make sure it is the right quality. So biotin does not equal biotin equal biotin. So, you know, there are so many different kinds, and it's so difficult because, as you and I both know, the nutraceutical industry is a multi-billion dollar industry, which means that people are doing a great job trying to be healthy and take supplements. But beware of certain supplements that are out there that might make false claims. So, you know, biotin, really, really important. Zinc, another one that is hugely important, very important for hair, really helps to promote hair. Keratin is a big one. In fact, the formula that I've actually put together myself for hair loss for my patients after doing a lot of research has those three top supplements in it, and that's biotin, zinc, and keratin. Really important. The other one
just cut out for a second, so I want to make sure people hear that. So it was biotin, zinc, and keratin, right? That was the...
Correct. Okay. Correct. Very important. The next one is N-acetylcysteine, which is a very important antioxidant, and that has been shown to really have a lot of great impact for regrowing hair. Other B vitamins are also very important, particularly B6 and B12. B12, though, realize the absorbability is a little limited, so it's better if we can do B12 either in an injectable form or in a sublingual form, and that really helps as well. Some amino acids that are really important are arginine for more blood flow to the scalp, as well as lysine. So those are two amino acids that have been shown to be really important for hair as well. And then, of course, in men, we use saw palmetto because it helps with the conversion of testosterone to DHT. DHT does increase hair loss. So you want to, in men, use that saw palmetto so you can diminish that conversion to the less favorable, the less favorable type of testosterone. And then iron, like we mentioned before, is very important, and then vitamin D. So those are really key vitamins that, you know, one must look at if they're dealing with hair loss. But a good place to start is, like you and I talked about, start with the basics, the biotin, the zinc, the keratin, and the Bs. Those are really, and the vitamin D. Those are the basics. We must start there.
Right. And those other ones you mentioned, do you think people should just go ahead and take those, or do you think that sorry, I'm getting some feedback.
Yeah, no, that's a good question. There's, you know, some people are okay with taking a handful of supplements, and if they're okay with it, then the amino acids are great, the D, the iron, really great. But I would say get yourself tested, at least for the basic things. If you can at least get a basic test, look at your vitamin D level, look at the B12, look at the iron, the ferritin, things that you can test with your traditional doctor, go ahead and get that tested. If you're able to get the micronutrient testing done, that's even better. But if you cannot do any of that, start with the hair loss supplement that I spoke about, start with the vitamin D, and start with the B vitamins. Those would be a really good place to start and see how your body responds to those.
Great. So that's so much great information about hair. And I think it's so fantastic you've been sharing this with us, because it is a big problem. And I actually didn't even realize it's as big of a problem as you, but those numbers that you mentioned,
aren't they startling?
Yes. I think probably a lot of times people just kind of suffer through it. They say, oh, I'm just, you know, or they talk to their doctor and their doctor says, oh, you're fine. It's just normal. It's part of aging, or it's part of, you know, you just had a baby, so it's normal to lose your hair.
Or it's just genetics and, you know, you can't do anything about it. And, you know, it's so funny. I'm so glad you kind of brought that up, because it just makes me think, you know, especially for men out there. So my husband went through the same kind of a process. He went through a lot of hair loss. And Dr. Cakes, you've met my husband. He's got lots and lots of hair. So, but he didn't. At one point, he was losing a ton of hair and really about to kind of head into that, you know, type of a hair loss situation where he was freaking out. He was panicking. So we went to a dermatologist, one that is very, very known for hair loss. And what we left with was, so are people in your family, do they have a lot of hair? Your dad, your uncles, your cousins, whatever. And he said, no, like just about everybody in my family. And he has, his dad has 6 brothers. So every single one of those uncles and all of his cousins are essentially bald by the time they are, you know, in their 40s. And so he was told, well, this is male pattern baldness. There's nothing you can do about this. And, you know, you could think about a hair transplant. That would be a really good option. And so my husband left the office, not very happy, to say the least. And we started really doing, and this was before I even went through my hair loss. So we started doing a lot of research on it. And he just, you know, we started doing a lot of greens and a lot of antioxidants and a lot of nutrients and a lot of vitamins. And he just has turned it around. And he's the only person in his family with a full head of very thick hair. And so not to say that everybody can go through that, but the point that I'm making is if you're not happy with the answer, dig deeper. Be your own advocate. Look at things that you can do. Try it all. It's all very natural and very good for you anyway. Change your diet. Get clean. Get the greens in. Get the antioxidants in. Get the right vitamins in. Get your thyroid looked at. Minimize your stress. You know, exercise. Get enough hydration. Do all the things that you can do in your power and then see what happens. So I think it's really important to really focus on, let's not just take this for an answer.
Okay. Okay. So yeah. Before we go, I know we were going to talk a little about skin too. Yes. And I know we spent a lot of time talking about hair and I think that's really important, but are there any additional things that you would say about skin that you think people should look for, or are there a lot of the similar underlying causes?
Right. Right. So skin, like you and I spoke about in the very beginning, that's how we are portrayed in the world. That's how we show ourselves in, you know, around people that are meaningful to us. So the skin is really the reflection of what's going on within. So if you have acne, for example, whether you're a teenage acne patient or whether you're a menopausal acne patient, look at what's going on inside. Could it be the foods you're eating? Could it be the sensitivities that you might have? Could it be your hormonal imbalance? So skin is such an important mirror as far as what's happening inside. So if you're having acne, if you're having eczema, that's another thing where you really want to look at what foods you're eating and what's going on inside your body. Psoriasis, those kinds of things. But what most of us are concerned about is, hey, don't talk about that. Talk about the wrinkles. What about the wrinkles? You know, so wrinkles too, when you talk about wrinkles, if you're going to age prematurely, which is essentially too much sun damage can cause that, unhealthy diets, excessive alcohol or other kinds of toxicities, excessive, you know, environmental issues that might be going through, or hormonal imbalance that causes dry skin, which then causes, you know, increased wrinkles. So look at your hormones. Hormones are such a huge part, especially for women. When we talk about, you know, as we're aging, our estrogen level is declining and our progesterone levels are declining, and that leads to dry skin, and that leads to crepey skin, lack of collagen in our skin. So we can actually start sagging a little bit. So we need to stimulate that collagen again. And whether that is working on the inside, which is key and most important, or we can do things that are readily available to us and that are non-invasive and non-surgical, like things that are going to actually lift your collagen. You know, my favorite procedure that lifts your collagen and actually is FDA approved for lifting and firming your collagen is called L-therapy. And L-therapy is awesome because it's ultrasound based, so completely non-invasive, and really stimulates that collagen to give you that lifted look. So you can definitely think about doing procedures like that. L-therapy is my favorite, photofacials, laser genesis, some really good natural peels that you could do. Also, you could think about doing PRP. PRP is one of our latest and cutting edge procedure, which I'm sure you know about, Dr. Cates, which is great, where you can use your own platelet-rich plasma, which has a lot of collagen-derived growth factors, and actually infuse those with microneedling or another procedure to get it into. We're not using anything outside. We're using everything that we create, that we have naturally, and letting our skin take advantage of that and really rebuild that collagen. So much. We could talk about this for hours, as you know, but there are so many things out there that we can do for our skin. So point being, you don't have to look any different than you want to look. You don't have to feel any different than you want to feel. You have options, you have choices, and you have lots of technology and lots of wonderful information out there that you could do.
Right, absolutely. Yeah. And now I think it's important to talk about, first we want to find if you're as premature aging or other skin problems, so what is the underlying cause, like we talked about with hair, and certainly thyroid could be another hormone. It could be thyroid problem causing the dry skin and some of these other things. So there's so many different factors that can play a role in that, and we don't want to just cover up a skin problem. We want to address it just like we would with anything else. And
absolutely correct.
And a lot of the nutrients you talked about for hair are also good for skin.
Also good for the skin. Absolutely. So important for the skin. Our skin needs that nutrition to be healthy, for sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. And so you, in your practice, you do a lot of these cutting edge aesthetic treatments, right? You do these at your clinic. That's great.
Yes. And I love it because it's all, again, about, you know, making yourself feel the best you can on the inside, but also look your best on the outside. And then of course, skincare is so important. You know, you can always go to different settings, practice settings or places to get treatments done, but what do you do at home for yourself, you know, on a daily basis? Are you protecting your skin? Are you pushing in antioxidants? Are you putting the peptides in your skin? Are you doing growth factors for your skin on a daily basis? Are you protecting your skin against the sun with a very, you know, powerful yet effective sunblock or sunscreen? And really looking at what you can do to promote better skin health for the long term. So we can all look great and feel great.
Good. So how can people work with you, find out more about you? Or you have a program that you have coming up, right? Will you tell us about that?
Yes. So we have a program that we're actually starting on November 4th. So really excited. It's called Get Your Hair Back with Dr. Shell. And it's a 6-week program that, it's very easy to enroll. And we're actually going to be going through much deeper into hair loss, into every single supplement, why it's good, what doses to take. You'll get a few different free gifts when you sign up for the program. You'll also get a ton of information as far as the detailed testing and analysis and different products that you might want to consider using, but also really help you figure out what kind of hair loss you have and what can be done about it. So we're really going to go deep into it. It's going to be over a 6-week period. We're starting November 4th, and we're making a very special offer for your listeners, Dr. Cates. And, that's going to be where our usual cost for the program is $249, and we're actually going to be offering it for $147 for your listeners. So I'm really excited about that, and I hope that many, many people can take advantage of it and really get their hair back.
Okay, and if people can't sign up by November 4th, they can still, that's when the live program starts, but they'll still be able to get the information if they can't get in by November 4th, but they won't get the live Q&As, they won't. So I encourage people to get going. Sure. If you're interested in this, you know, sign up before November 4th, but if you can't, then there's also still time. And then also you have an ebook too.
Yes. So we're giving away an ebook about thyroid, which to me is such an important topic. So it's called Hypothyroidism 101 to really teach everybody what the differences are with the different kinds of thyroid issues that they may be going through. So that's completely free, and that's going to be given to your listeners. They can go to my website, drshellmd.com. It's drshellmd.com, or go to your website and you have the link as well. So they could do either and sign up for the program, sign up for the ebook, and really just stay in touch. And of course, my practice is in Texas, right outside of Houston. So they can also just send in, you know, any kind of questions if they have any. I'm happy to help them in any way. If they're close by, they want to come by, no problem. But, you know, it's all about, I'm trying to make sure that we get the message out there. People do not need to live with you know, issues of hair loss, skin issues, hormone issues, weight issues, anything that you don't feel good about, be your own advocate and get to the right person to get educated and really do something about it and live the kind of life that you really want to live.
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much, Dr. Shell, for coming on and the wealth of knowledge, information you've shared with us today. Really appreciate all your information, and I got to have you back on for some more.
Oh, I would love it. And Dr. Cates, thank you for everything, and thank you for having me on. And you're so easy to talk to, and I'd love to be on any other time.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this interview with Dr. Shell. To get a copy of her free ebook on thyroid and to find out more about Dr. Shell's 6-week online course, Get Your Hair Back with Dr. Shell, you can visit my website, drtrevorcates.com, and visit the podcast page and click on the link to her program within her interview. So I hope you enjoy the interview. Thank you so much for joining us. Have a great day.